The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. Okay, so we are grateful to God for all that He's doing, and we thank God for all our children, all the teenagers, for keeping them. We thank God for all the good news we are hearing about all our children. We are grateful to Jesus, and He will take them higher still in the name of Jesus. Every one of them will become in your jangko. You know, what does that mean? Become great and mighty in the name of Jesus. Okay, so this morning we are looking at the word that has been titled Look Up. Look up. And so let's humble our hearts and receive the goodness, the engrafted word of God that is able to save us and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. To bring the word of God to us today is R.P. Richard Ogbonwo. Let's put our hands together for the Lord, for the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. All glory to the Lord. All honor to the Lord. Come on, all praise to the Lord. Give Him your worship. Give Him your praise. Give Him your honor. Show gratitude to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we honor you. If you don't mind, would you kindly rise to your feet if you are not on your feet, and let's just honor God together. I will look, lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth.
He said He would not suffer my foot to be moved. The Lord which gave me, He will not stop at us.
Any other help but God. But I know that God is the only consistent help. He's the only one you can put your trust in. Yes, you can clap unto Him. And you know that you will not be disappointed. It says that they looked to Him and their faces were radiant, and no shadow of shame darkened their faces. Father, this is our truth and our reality. That every one of us here will experience the radiance of faith, the joy of heart, the fulfillment of promise, the gladness, our Father, of manifestation of your goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus. This morning I ask that you teach us yourself. Amen. Use my tongue, my Father. Amen. And let the name of Jesus alone be glorified. Amen. Honor and glory be given to you, Lord. Come on, honor and glory be given to the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Someone lift up your voice and shout, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Please, you may be seated. Thank you for joining us this morning to honor God, and thank you for that honor when we came up here. We don't take it for granted. God bless you all in Jesus' name. I just also want to honor my papi and thank him for the privilege of being able to do this. I don't take it for granted. We are grateful, my family, my wife and I, and we pray that God will continually take God's will house higher in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so as Papi has introduced, if you're here in the first service, we did promise that we will go deeper into the details that we couldn't cover, but we're going to be looking at, everybody, 1, 2, 3. Come on now, let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, we are looking at. And I have all the time in the world. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm just kidding, but at least we're not in a hurry to transition service. But most importantly, please follow, open up your heart. I did say one of the things I believe that the Holy Spirit is promising is that this message is going to be a reference point for you if you really open up your heart. Meaning, maybe a few weeks from now, maybe a few months from now, you will come back to this message and it will be like that anchor that you use in just, you know, aligning and shaping your life going forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a few questions this morning. And one of the first questions I want to ask us, and again, please, I want to ask that you sort of take notes, if you can take notes, or maybe you want to capture some of the images or record it or go back and watch it over and over again. Have you noticed how much your life follows your gaze? Have you noticed that really your life follows your gaze? Have you noticed how your eyes controls your emotions? Where your eyes go, your emotions tend to follow. And where your focus rests, your choices are anchored. Your choices are aligned on your focus. Yes. Focus sets direction, and direction sets your decisions. Focus sets the direction of your life. What you are focused on is where you tend to go, and that will determine the kind of decisions you are making per time and daily. What you consistently pay attention to ends up influencing your decisions. And where your vision is locked, whatever it is you call vision, here in Gospel House, we do have a vision, and our vision hasn't changed. Can we say our vision together? Our vision is to be... And doing what? And that determines everything that we do. It determines why we woke up yesterday on Saturday morning when we should be at home, resting for some people. We decided to hit the streets, right? And go and do what? What did we go and do? Prayer walk. But at the foundation, the big picture of that prayer walk was to do what? Take the word for him. So that direction influences every decision we make. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So let me ask you another question this morning. Where have you been looking lately? Where have you been looking lately? Let me coin that question a little differently, right? Where have you been looking lately? Spiritually, where have you been focused lately? Emotionally, what has been your all-consuming focus lately? Financially, what have you been looking at over and over again? Mentally, what is your honest answer to this question? You know what? Write your honest answer down. Because I believe that you will come back someday and say, on the 20th of July, this is what my focus was. If you are looking in the right direction, praise the Lord for you. It means that there's always more in God, right? You would increase, amen. I say you would increase, amen. But it also means that in case you are looking at not the right direction, Today is an opportunity for redirection. And I'm saying, if there's anybody here that is not looking in the right direction, and I sense that there are a few people, God will redirect your course in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we often misplace our gaze on different things. We misplace our gaze on the past. We misplace our gaze on people. We misplace our gaze on shame. But true strength, true direction and sustenance begins when we look up. Everybody say, look up. When we look up to God, our source and our sustainer. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, God, my source and my sustainer. Not your neighbor. Not even the neighbor that is distracting you right now. Not the neighbor that is texting you. Not that person you feel like you need to even respond to a mail or whatever. Your source and your sustainer is God. And I say that shall be your reality in the mighty name of Jesus. Our anchor scripture is Psalm 121. I read verse 1 and 2 in the easy to read version for emphasis. I never seen it this way before and I love it. And it says, I look up to the hills, but where will my help really, somebody say really, where will my help really come from? He was asking. And then he responds and says, my help will come with an affirmation. Can you say that with an affirmation? My help will come from the Lord. Come on, say it. You didn't say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. My help will come from the Lord. And he qualifies what the Lord is talking about. Not the Lord of the shrine in your father's house. He says the one that created the heavens and the earth. That is where your help, your real help, comes from. And I say he will be your real helper in the mighty name of Jesus. And this is a popular scripture. Nobody can argue. Even if you've not been in church for a while, you sort of have heard this scripture. Maybe you did not know it was Psalm 121, but you've heard people say it, right? But even though we know it, we have the tendency to look in all directions. Maybe even look into the hills. But the psalmist is saying that, no, I'm looking beyond the hills. You have been looking for answers, hoping for answers in different kinds of places. The psalmist says that the real help is from the Lord again. I ask, where have you been looking lately? Where have you been looking? Have you been looking back? For some people, they are looking back. Have you been looking around? Have you been looking down? Have you been looking to other people? Or maybe you've been looking to yourself. Some people say, I'm a self-made millionaire. Okay. The person that last said in the Bible, they're a self-made millionaire. God say, you fool. God will not call you a fool in Jesus' name. Because the guy said, you know what? I made some money now. You know, I need to expand my platform. Because by my power, I've achieved this. Tomorrow, I will do those. And God say, you fool. Tonight, you are gone. May God not call you a fool. And may life not cheat you. I say, may God not call you a fool. And may life not cheat you. In the mighty name of Jesus. So have you been looking to these things that we can call lesser gazes? Somebody say lesser gazes. Yes, you gaze at them, but they are lesser gazes compared to what God has in store for you. These are false fixations. These are destiny distortions. These are vision robbers. Have you been fixated on them, or are you looking to God? So I'm going to take one each and every one of these points real quickly. Are you looking back? Some people are so focused on looking back that they miss the beauty of the road ahead until it's too late. And then guess what happened? Regret steps in. Regret comes in. And you know what regret does? Regret freezes your future. That's what regret does. Regret literally will freeze your future. There are some people that are still living in 10 years ago by a regret. There are some people that are still living in last week. Something happened last week. You haven't moved. There was a skirmish between you and somebody a month ago. And that has just taken all your energy. And God is looking at you and saying, my child, look up to me. Look up to me. Look up to me. And a classic example in Genesis 19:26 tells us that Lot's wife, she looked back and what happened? You know the popular scripture. Lot's wife looked back and what happened? Come on now, two worshipers. Lot's wife looked back and what happened? I say Lot's wife looked back and her future froze. That's what happened. The moment she looked back, guess what? No more future. And you see, many times what we forget to realize is that there are many people surrounding you. Your life is not just your life. There are many people that are hoping that you fulfill your destiny so that they can fulfill their destiny. Now imagine Lot's children and her husband. Let's not even go there. You know what happened? Moabite and whatever came from Lot's wife looking back. You need to get this. Because she was so fixated on all the things behind, her future froze. And then the other people that were on that bus with her had to go on the future by themselves. And it was a rough ride. May your own ride not be a rough ride in Jesus' name. You can't step into tomorrow when your eyes are glued to yesterday. And there's a popular quote we shared in the first service. You probably know the quote. It's about the windshield and the rearview mirror. And I want CMM to put it up so we can look at it together. About the windshield and the rearview mirror. And it tells us that the reason why the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror is because what is in front of you is much more important than what is behind you. What is in front of you is much more greater, beautiful than what is behind you. And that's why the rearview mirror is small. And you know what? For some people, their life is really just something like this. Everything in the rearview mirror is pain. The routes that took them to where they are right now, my goodness, if you follow that route, you probably would die. It's pain. It's torture. There's nothing to write about, but they can't get past it. They say, because that happened, that is why I'm still like this. They're so hinged on that pain. That's one set of people. So I put up the other one. For some other people, guess what? It is the beauty of the past. Oh, I had a beautiful life. That's the regret. I first be billionaire. I first only. Remember that time in 2001 when I buy brand new Benz? But you can't drive that brand new Benz today because it's already an old vehicle. That's why you see, God gives us the capacity to replicate things. You're not a one-trick pony, like they say. So people are hinged on the past, whether beautiful or painful. I say in the name of Jesus, come out of your past in Jesus' name. Come out of your past. And while there's nothing wrong with the past, because you know what? Sometimes you should look behind, but the only time you look behind is right, is to look behind and give God gratitude. When you look behind, you should look behind and say, that's a reference for Thanksgiving. You should look behind and learn from the past. You don't live in the past. Come on, somebody say, I don't live in the past. I learn from the past, right? You should look behind and bring stories that encourage people. Praise the name of the Lord. Is that not what a testimony is called? When you're able to say, you know what? Yesterday, thus happened. It's in the past, right? Draw strength from my testimony. But you don't live in the past. Somebody say, I don't live in the past. Well, guess what? You absolutely cannot harness tomorrow by focusing on yesterday. So are you looking back? Are you looking around? Another classic example from scriptures is Peter walking on water until he noticed the storm. And you can find that in Matthew 18 from 28 to 31. I'm going to focus on verse 30 in the New International Version. And it says, but when he saw the wind, let me say that again. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Scripture is telling us that Peter walked on water until he saw the wind. Please, I know first service, you already know where I'm going to. How many of us saw breeze this morning? As you are coming, you saw breeze. Say, breeze, let's go. Breeze. You can see breeze. How did Peter see the wind? Peter, how did he see the wind? Why is he telling us that Peter saw the wind? Peter saw the evidence of the wind. He saw the things that the wind was doing, the distractions of the wind. And the encounter is telling us that we don't really drown from the storms. We drown from the distraction of the storms. I say you will not drown from the distraction of the storms in Jesus' name. Nigeria is going through a storm, but Nigeria will not take you out. There's a wind, but the wind will not take you out. Guess what? The wind will propel you forward because you're an eagle. You're an eagle. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is not me trying to talk you to be happy. Of course, you should be excited about God's word. But this is the reality of God's word. Guess what? Peter was on the boat. Was the wind not already there? Come on, man. Was the wind not there? Yes, the wind was there, but Peter chose to step out of the boat in spite of the wind. Ha! That same storm, the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. You will not take your eyes off Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. How often do we sink? Not because of the storms, but because of a shift in our focus. Can I recoin that question? Are you currently sinking because of a shift in your focus? Are you going through a storm that God is saying, you got this, you can ride the storm, but the storm is taking you out because of a shift in your focus? I pray in the name of Jesus, that by the grace of the Almighty God, that your focus will be on Jesus and you will rise above that storm. I feel strongly in my heart, someone is riding a storm and is wondering. You came into church today just wondering. In fact, you're saying, I'm just going to finish church and go back home to this same thing. God has given you the grace. You will rise above that storm. Your focus will be upon Him in the mighty name of Jesus. Are you looking down? Most times people look down in shame. Another beautiful example is from Genesis 4:6. The story of Cain and Abel. They both brought sacrifices. One sacrifice, because of the way he packaged the sacrifice, God said, that's the kind of sacrifice I'm looking for. And the other guy said, you know what? Oh, nobody cares about me. Oh, I've been rejected. Oh, they don't even know what's going on. He began to compare himself. Oh, she's finer than me. They don't like me. Is it because they have more money than me? And all the things that causes your shoulder to drop. God's children, your shoulders don't drop. Because it says underneath you are his everlasting arms. It's to prop you up. Hallelujah. The word of God is so good. Underneath you, in spite of what you... Okay, you brought a sacrifice. It shows somebody else's sacrifice. Pick yourself up now and sacrifice again. Sacrifice again. Now do it right. In fact, God said unto Cain, he said, do you know what? Do you know that you can actually do better? He says, why is your countenance dropping, son? If you did what is right, will I not accept you? God is saying, if you did what is right, do you need to compare yourself with anybody else? We said to our children, you know what? You are not in a race or in competition with anybody else. You are in a race and competition with yourself. The best version of yourself is yet to happen. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm getting upset. Why? In the name of Jesus, we speak to every spirit that is lying to anybody in this place, causing shame, depression, rejection. We say, out now in Jesus' name. God said to him, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Will you not be accepted? So when you mess up, and you will do mess up, do you look up to your father or do you look down to yourself and the mess? Temptation is a test of gaze. In the heat of temptation, do you look up or do you look down? Cain is teaching us this morning that when shame locks your gaze downward, it can blind you to God's invitation upward. When shame locks your gaze in that place where you are beat, where you feel like you are defeated, it is robbing you of God's invitation to lift your head and be more and more like Him. Praise the name of the Lord. Because when your head is down, you miss out on what God is offering from above. Number four, are you looking to man? And I was sharing in the first service that personally, this is where I've been beaten the most in my own journey. Maybe yours is different. My own journey, this is where I've been beaten the most and where I've got to learn the hardest of ways, right? Every time I looked to man, I experienced major setbacks in my own life. And there's nothing wrong. God, sometimes the setbacks were so painful that it would take you a while to recover. So one of the things that God taught me through that experience, and I've grown by God's grace, is that God has the power to use people. So there's nothing wrong with people. God can use anybody. So sometimes when I hear that destiny helper, I laugh. God, they are destiny helpers. Praise the name of the Lord. And I've seen people, I shared my testimony last month out of the blue. Somebody just calls and says that your family, I need to bless them. Send plenty, anybody that will give you six figures in this climb, that is only God. I've not spoken to this guy for months. I don't want to talk about the other things that have even come out from that one conversation. Praise the name of the Lord. So God can use people. And God will use people to bless you. Amen? Okay. God will use you to bless people. Amen? Amen. So God can use people both ways. Hallelujah. So that's not where I'm going. You see, what I've also learned is that even the people that God chooses to use can be so focused on other things, right, that thing that you call a blessing can be delayed. And then you can literally wallow in disappointment and heartbreak just waiting for those people to come and help you. And that's where many people dwell. They're waiting for one brother. They're waiting for one sister. They're waiting for one uncle. Look, help is not coming from anywhere. Help is only coming from above. Amen. That's where help comes from. Because the Bible says that nobody, he alone has the power to lift up and pull down. God alone has the power to lift up and pull down. If you get this, your life changes. God alone, not your uncle, not your husband, not your wife, has the power to lift up and to pull down. And I began to play with this when I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading the direction. I said, you know what? Think about it. Joseph was in the prison. And he solved the problem of two great guys, so to speak. You know, when you solve the problem of kings, you get rewarded in gold, right? I've always told you, I speak for gold. Can somebody say, I speak for gold? Come on. Somebody say, I speak for gold. Somebody say, I speak for gold. You will write a book that will be a bestseller. Amen. They will invite you to come and speak in a place as an MC and they will pay you 6 figures. Amen. I'm saying, this is training ground. Say the guy, I speak for gold. That's not what we're going to. We don't even have time. But I'm saying, Joseph spoke for gold. He spoke to the king's courtiers. They were in a bad place at the time. Both of them had the capacity to help Joseph. True or false? Come on now. Joseph, they had the capacity to help Joseph. True or false? That's the king's baker and the king's courtier. Meaning they were always, and the king's cupbearer, they were always before the king. Yes? But imagine Joseph waiting for a cupbearer to come and help him because he's destiny helper. Genesis 41:1 says, 2 years passed. 365 days times one, 365 days times two. Ha! Stop waiting for people. Stop waiting for people. 2 years passed. What the guy remember? I say, oh, do you know that Joseph could have died in that 2 years of heartbreak, of suffer, of rejection, or dejection? But Joseph's eyes were on God, not on that guy. Because the guy, they can take your business card and they can forget. 2 years passed. What about the baker? Imagine the baker's relatives. My uncle, he did like Aso Rock. He did serve for King Palace. That's what they call a headless plan. Because the baker lost his head. After he loses his head, then what next? And one of the most painful things I've heard is when someone says that, you know what? If only this person were alive. All these things I'm going through. I cringe when I hear it. Meaning you are saying that your only source is dead. God forbid. God forbid that man, your source, is dead. The Bible says that God is the one that gives bread to the eater. You call him a breadwinner. A breadwinner. And then she dies. That's the end of your story. God forbid. God gives bread to the eater. God is the source of bread. I empathize with you. I've had my own fair share of death. But God had to teach me that the one that died was never your source, son. The one that has gone was never your source. He walked out of that marriage. He was never your source. She took you to court and cleaned you out. That's all she can get. Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say, look up. In 1 Samuel 8, the NIV version tells us in verse 5 how the Israelites missed it in looking to man. They said unto Samuel, now appoint a king to lead us, such as the other nations have. Such as the other nations have. They were looking at what other people were doing. Maybe when they go to war, they'll see the Philistines, you know, their king will come with horse, you know, with metal. You know, the same Philistines they were killing. They said, we want to be like the Philistines. May that not be your reality in the mighty name of Jesus. God was their king. They rejected their king for man. They rejected God's rule for man's system. They rejected God's leadership to be like everybody else. May you not reject God's leadership to become like everybody else. They looked up to man instead of God. It's confusing. Israel is sometimes a confused person. But whatever it is, what I want you to remember is this. When you look up to man as your source, you downgrade your supply. Every time you look up to man, in fact, you know what the Bible says? It says, cursed is he who what hinges his hope on the arm of flesh. May you not be cursed in Jesus' name. They forgot that God's way is not always the crowd's way. It's not often the crowd's way. God's ways are usually, if I say it, he gave us the disclaimer, my ways are higher than your ways. Praise the name of the Lord. I won't beg. Can we turn on the AC, please? Hot. Hallelujah. Number five, are you looking to self? Are you looking to self? King Saul is a classic example here. King Saul began with God's anointing, but he lost his way by trusting his own timing, trusting his own reasoning, and trusting his own strength. And you can read 1 Samuel chapter 9 to chapter 15. I was saying in the first service, the word of God is beautiful. I think Pastor William Sola was also saying that. Read Psalm 119. You look, one of the things I do, is there traffic in Lagos? Come on, guys. Is there traffic in Lagos? If you don't see traffic, put up your hand. Those of us that live in where? Everything's in your estate. As long as you leave your estate in Lagos, whether you live in Banana Island, whether you live in the Island, if you come out of your house, traffic will say, welcome, and will grab you. You know, God bless our government and good roads and stuff, right? But, hey, it's a reality. What am I trying to say? I'm saying if you live in Lagos, then you need to befriend the word of God. If you can't read it a lot, play it. Play it. Make sure you're always listening to God. Faith cometh by what? Come on, guys. Faith cometh by what? That's to enter, and it's the word of God that you hear. Many of us are hearing too much of, I don't want to call the name of the song, self. You know, too much. I'm not castigating your secular songs, but at some point, when you want to cry out to God, is it? Oh, come on. Let's stay focused. When pressure mounted, King Saul looked inward for solutions, rather than upward for instructions. When your pressure mounts, are you looking inward for solution or are you looking upward for instruction? And in trying to keep control, which is one thing that humans know how to do a lot, guess what? He lost his crown. You will not lose your crown in Jesus' name. And 1 Samuel 13 tells us the icing on the cake, no, the straw that broke the camel's back for King Saul. He says that Samuel said, "What on earth are you doing, Saul? God has been telling you. You know the year word? What on earth are you doing?" You know when someone says, what on earth? Parents here. You know when you are telling your child, what on earth are you doing? You have gotten to that tipping point, right? So something is about to be unleashed on the child. God, and that's what God says. What on earth are you doing? This Saul, are you dense? What's wrong with you? He says, and Saul's defense. He says, when I saw I was losing an army, my army, he called them my army, the same army God gave him, from under me, and that you hadn't come when you said you would, I took matters into my hand and sacrificed the burnt offerings. You took matters into your hands. Yes, they offended you, but you took matters into your hand. They disappointed you. Did you hear God? What's God saying? And this is my question to people, because it's a question I ask to myself. When things go south, do you take matters into your hand? Or do you say, God, what exactly are you saying? Because God is always teaching a lesson. Whether you like it or not, God will use human beings to teach you a lesson. God will use you to teach human beings a lesson as well. Remember that before you begin to blame people. Right? What is God saying? You're going through a mess. It's financial. You are coming up with a judgment that really does not have the foundations of God. And I ask those people, I'm saying, what's God saying? Then you hear, God is a but. At that point in time, I'm like, there's nothing to say to this person here. Because if God tells you something, you don't hear. What will I add to that that you hear? Nothing. God is saying, but, or I know, but. If you know, why not rest in what he's saying? Why not rest in what he's saying? What is God saying? Yes, you're under pressure. What is God saying? What is God saying? Come on, turn to somebody. Turn to somebody. Turn to somebody, please, please. Look them in the eye. Look them. Say, my brother. If he's a man, if he's a, look at her. Are you afraid? Look at her. Her eyes will not say, what is God saying? Some people cannot even ask. Are you afraid? Praise the name of the Lord. And what if our shift that we need right now is just our gaze? I know some of us are looking to Jakba. As I'm speaking to you, some people are saying, this week, Lord, I know you're speaking to me to look up. My visa, look up. Oh, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're looking to change location. Maybe you're looking for a solution. But what if God is just saying, change your gaze? What is just asking you to look differently? Change your perspective. What if that's all he's asking? What if he's asking you to just have a new direction for your gaze? What if the answer, the simple answer to the things you have been seeking since the beginning of the year is just look up? Say to somebody, look at them, look at them. Whisper, say, look up. Look up. And there are several examples in the Bible, right, that of people that, you know, when their gaze changed, everything changed, right? We look at three or four. I mean, we have time, so can I go? Yes, or should we rush it like we did first service? Do you want to take the thing I believe God gave me and use it and run for your week and your month and your year and your life will be transformed? Then let's go. Somebody say, let's go.
Let's go.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What is that thing? What do people do that change their gaze and change everything in their life? Let's look at Abraham. Abraham was looking in obedience. Abraham looked in obedience, and we see that in Genesis 22, verse 13. It says, then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught up by his horns in a thicket. How do you look up and see the ram? So my hyperactive brain played with it a bit, and I saw the ram flying. The ram had wings. It was an angelic ram, right? It was flying, and Abraham saw the ram, and Abraham said, thank you, Lord. No. That's not what the Bible says. I formed that in my mind, but I saw it. Abraham looked really down to see the ram, because if a ram is caught in the thicket, a bush, the thicket is a small shrub bush, right? It has to be there somewhere, right? But how did Abraham look up? Let's play it any how you like. Abraham won't kill the pigeon right now. You're going to die. You're going to die. And the Bible says he looked up. Even if he was going to look up, he would say, ram, I see ram there. So Abraham wasn't really looking with his physical eyes. Abraham was looking with his heart of reverence on the one that has called forth the seed and the one that said that I will never forsake you. I will go with you. He looked up and he saw the solution to the sacrifice. It was never Isaac, Abraham. So that's for someone here. It was never Isaac. Because Isaac is your promise. What God is saying to Abraham and saying to you is that I will not fail you. I've said it. The doors are open. Go forth. I have helped you.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. So Abraham looked up, and in that, Abraham was able to see the provision was visible only when Abraham obeyed and he looked up. Where do you need to obey and look up this morning? Because your ram, somebody say, my ram. I want to pursue you inside your heart. The ram. Your provision, actually. Your provision is often where your reverence meets your obedience. That's where your provision is. That's where Abraham's provision was. And that's why he got it. Number two, the psalmist. The psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. The psalmist, right, was his gaze changed when he was looking up for help. Not looking around, not looking to man. And remember, we read that scripture. Let's read it again. It says, but where will my help really? Please put it up again. Where will my help really come from? Don't worry, I'll read it for you. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, but where will my help really? Somebody say, really. Really, really. Come on, say it again. Say it again. Say it. Come on, say it. Say it a couple of times. Say it. Say it. Something is changing. Say it. Really. Say it again. Say it again. Think about that guy that you have been hoping on. Say it again. Think about your business, your office, and then say it again. Is it this thing that is really my help? Is that not a false help? Okay. Look, think about a man that all his life, he was trained to use his hands, right, to provide for his family. If those hands are chopped off, what happens? So that means your help does not really come from that thing. I know a guy called Nick Vujicic. I like to call him the limbless man. He doesn't have hands. He doesn't have legs. In fact, he calls himself Mr. Torso. He said, all I have is just chest. But that guy will speak for gold. When he goes to events, people are weeping, not out of pity for the man, but because they're saying, if Torso can do it, what is wrong with me? And when he finishes, they're saying, you know what, take $100,000 for coming here. Ha ha. Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say, look up. Somebody say, look up. The psalmist didn't say, I look around, or I look back, or I look to others. He lifted his gaze beyond the natural. Many times we're too in the natural. We're too in the natural. We're too in the flesh. We're looking at our brother and we're saying, how can this person be like this? You have seen that person in the natural. And God, the Bible says, no, no man after the flesh. You condemn, you find you have seen the person's full picture. And you're saying, this is the full extent of what they can be. No, my brother, you are not God. You didn't create that being, and you don't get to determine what it can be. Praise the name of the Lord. So looking up is not denial. Get this. It's not living in denial. It's not living in denial. Looking up is defiance. It's defiance against despair. It's defiance against doubt. It's defiance against dependence on man and anything that man represents. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus looked up in gratitude. Jesus looked up in thanksgiving. And of course, I'll give you Bible references, so I'm not going to go into them. John 11, 41, the story of Lazarus. Before Jesus brought out Lazarus, the Bible said he looked up in gratitude. He looked up. He was saying, God, I'm grateful. These people, they don't really know, but it's you. Jesus could have said, Lazarus, come out! With his hand in his pocket. Will Lazarus come out or not? Come on. Will Lazarus come out or not? You don't believe it. Ha. Jesus could have, if Jesus does not call Lazarus' name, I mean, it's a popular slang in theology. If Jesus said, dead, rise, everyone in that radius would have risen if he did not specify Lazarus. He had that kind of power. But he still showed us something, right? Again, in Mark 7, verse 34, the story of the deaf and mute man, right? Jesus looked up to heaven. He thanked God and he released the man into his destiny. Jesus could have said, some people just need to talk to them. He told some people, your sin is forgiven, right? And they rose up, right? Jesus spoke with gratitude and ears and mouth were popped open. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm saying everything that is representing deafness, everything that's representing a tie to your tongue, be loosened now in the name of Jesus. And of course, in the feeding of 5,000 men and their families, in Luke 9:16, Jesus gave thanks. And then he broke the bread. Jesus could have easily have said, no, I'll give everybody bread, and bread will still multiply. He's Jesus. So before each of these miracles, Jesus looked up in gratitude and reverence, right? Looking up for Jesus was a way of aligning with the Father, even though he was God. Because Jesus could easily have multiplied and done whatever he needed to do without even looking up. But Jesus was teaching us something. He was showing us that alignment precedes authority. Alignment precedes authority. Even the Son of God, right, had to be aligned with God. Not in weakness, but in authority. He aligned. The only reason why he was able to get that was because he knew it. That alignment is the way forward. I say you'll be aligned in Jesus' name. What about Stephen? Stephen looked up in surrender, and you can see that in Acts 7, 55 to 60. Stephen had been speaking to the people of Israel, you know, stating his case, you know, about Jesus' salvation for all. And he got irritated, and Stephen looked up to heaven. Somebody say, looked up to heaven. And he says, he looked up, and he saw the glory of the Lord. I say, when you look up, you see the glory of the Lord. And this is a beautiful part. It says, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Look, the Bible says, only the pure in heart shall see the Lord. Stephen was pure. I'm praying that you will see the Lord. Amen. Only three people said amen. I said, I pray you see the Lord. Amen. That means you get to a place of purity where your communion with God will be what they call Appian Way. Straight up. A place of purity. No convolution. No confusion. When you're coming to God, you're not looking to God to just kill your enemies. You're looking to God to say, what is your will in this? My coach says something to me like this. He says, you know what? I traded, my goodness. He said, I traded my brain for ears. That didn't sink in. He said, I traded my brain. Meaning he has lost his right of reasoning only because he just wants to listen to God. And when he said that, I said, I receive that. I don't want to see. I don't want to I don't want to feel. I just want to hear. Because Jesus said, as I see. The only way Jesus could see was he had to see God. The only way Jesus could hear is that he had to hear God. So I'm praying for you, I'm praying for myself, that you will lose your brain for ears in Jesus' name. You will be so attuned to God that you will know his will and do his will in the mighty name of Jesus. So here we have Stephen. And after staking his claim, these guys began to stone him. And as they were stoning him, verse 60 says, then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. They say a man's last words are a reflection of the man's heart. When someone is dying, if you want to know what their legacy is, hear what they are saying. Stephen's final words revealed what truly mattered to him. When people are dying, their final words reveal what mattered to them. You know the story about, I won't call it the particular tribe, about a guy that was in the hospital. He was dying, and his family had come to visit him. And I will still change the name of the people. And he called, who is there? And the wife came, and he called his wife, Angel, you are here? She said, yes, I'm here, darling. So, okay. How is there again? And the first son, his name is Adam. Can we call the tribe that used to tell him this joke for somebody gets offended? Say, Adam, you are here? Adam say, yes, Papa. He say, okay. And he heard another boy. He said, who else is there? And the daughter spoke. He say, Eve, you are here? Eve say, yes, Papa. He say, okay. Then he had three kids. And then he heard another voice again. He couldn't believe his ears. Dying man, who is there? And that one say, Abel. He say, Abel, you too, you are here. He say, yes. And who you live for shop now? Who you live for shop? Who you live for shop? All of you are here. Who you live for shop? Who will sell business? Praise the name of the Lord. So that tells you what matters to the guy. But Stephen had other things. There was no doubt to know what mattered to Stephen. And so because of what mattered to Stephen, heaven opened up for a man who looked up. Heaven will open up for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Looking up didn't change the stones. The stones did not become bread as they were stoning, they were throwing at Stephen. I'm sure he felt every one of those pain. It didn't become strawberry on his body. They were painful, but it changed Stephen. So looking up doesn't always change what's around you, but it can completely change what's happening inside of you. Looking up doesn't really change what's around you, but it has the capacity to completely change what's happening inside of you. And at that very moment, when Stephen looked up, he downloaded the divine capacity to forgive. He downloaded the divine capacity to pray. The capacity to endure through the season. My brother, my sister, look up. Look up. Look up. Looking up is not denial. It is divine download. Hallelujah. So when we look up, we don't see men. We see the glory of God. We see the glory of God. And I was sharing in the first service that, Stephen could have actually prayed that God punish these people for me. Was he in his right? Come on now. Was he in his right? They were stoning him now. He could have said, thunder, fire these people. In fact, Saul was there. The Bible says that they were putting all their clothes. It'd be like when children go play ball. Say, oh my bag. You go and play ball. So Saul was the one holding bag for people that was going to kill somebody. Like Pastor K would say, Saul was Boko Haram Pro Max. He was a terrorist. Stephen could have looked at him and said, that one, Lord, making no escape. Fire in head with thunder. Right? And Stephen had power in his voice. Who knows? God could have honored that request. But you see something, I'm saying this is my own personal belief. You can read your own Bible and get your own revelation, your own rhema. I believe that Stephen's prayer also applied to Saul's life. Because Saul left that place and Saul said, we don't kill that one. Saul began to look for more people to kill. But Stephen had, in his moment of death, had knelt down and said, Father, forgive this man.
And on his way to Damascus, God did not come with vengeance. God came with redemption for Saul. Who are you praying for? Who has offended you are praying for? Look, if your enemy continues to pursue you, right? The Bible tells us, right? In Exodus 14:14, God will fight your battles, amen? And you will hold your peace. And if you fall down in that Exodus 14, it says that not one of the enemies of Israel escaped. Hallelujah. But you know the most beautiful place to be? How about God changes them? How about God gives them salvation? I was saying that in the first service that I remember when we went on missions, Mommy Dana is here, when we went to Sierra Leone. And as we landed, they said, devil, just come over here. Devil, just come over here. Devil. Have you seen devil before? So we, long and short, that we fought devil and won. You don't know. I said we fought devil and won. You don't fight devil before, real devil. Real devil. And I was, while I was still correlating that in my head, devil came back in strange forms, in things that I've never seen. I mean, I've seen masquerades before, but these are scary kind of masquerades. In things in their head, and then the battle began. And we began to apply everything that we have taught, we have been taught. We looked up to heaven and we were engaging. God defeated devil and his cause in Jesus' name. In fact, that reminds me, the man was actually throwing stones. He was throwing some things, but on our body, because we're focused on God, those things felt like spices. Hallelujah. Mommy is here, she can testify to that, right? And we drew a bloodline, they were defeated. So the next day, this is the story. We heard that the one that was crawling and falling, right, had lost his mind. And I remember waking up in the morning feeling like, so basically they feed. You know, that feeling of say, so you go pray. As you pray, people they die. I felt, you know, I actually felt good. I won't lie to you. I felt like this thing, they work. Look, if you have not prayed and something worked before, you won't know the feeling I'm talking about. It worked. So I was gingered. And I came out that morning feeling, you know, morning and after. And I remember the host was there standing, and they were telling him the story about how that guy has lost his mind. I said, yes, all of them will lose their mind. And the guy said, no, sir. They will all be transformed and give their life to Jesus. I was humbled because while I was looking for people to die, a more matured person was looking for them to carry the gospel. Praise the name of the Lord. So please stop killing the people that God has called to carry the gospel. Don't make excuses for bad behavior. But the question is, when someone did something to you the last time, did you pray for them? If you prayed for them, how did you pray for them? I also remember someone told me something many years ago, that the people you are reporting to God are also reporting you to God. Is their father? Is your father? Oh yeah, now. That changes how you report people to God. So one of my prayers hacks that I give to God, and maybe that is why, I don't know, it will be hard to really go through this church unless you are a personal bad belly person, right? To see somebody that says that I am weird with them. I mean, I live my life, I'm not perfect, but I think I have a way of around people. Anybody agrees with me? Even though we sometimes we will friction, but we'll sort of come back together, correct? Can I give you my hack? I say something like this: God, turn their hearts to me, turn my heart to them. It's a prayer consistently. God, turn their heart to me, turn my heart to them. Turn their heart to me. And then the next day in church, you know what? We are giving hugs like yesterday never happened. We move on like we never quarreled yesterday. You can't quarrel. I grew up in a house of 6 boys. Come on, you quarrel every day. They beat you blue, black, and tomorrow they'll tell you how far you go chop. Simple. Simple. And that's how God wants us to be with his children. His children. Except the son of perdition. Let's not even go there. His children. Turn to someone, please. Turn to someone. Come on, turn to someone. Okay. So you are God's child. And I love you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So when we look up, we don't see men. We see the glory of God. So how do we practically look up? 5 practical steps to add to the ones that we've already shared. You know, I'll borrow like Papi's step and Papi's word. It says there are plenty. Honestly, we could have gotten out 10 or 15, but I just want to touch on 5 major ones and we'll wrap up, right? So number one, we look up in practical steps, right? Is in worship. Number 2 is in the word. Number 3 is in prayer. Number 4 is in trust. And number 5 is in expectation. So number 1 is in worship. You lift up your soul above situations. What is worship? And I'm saying worship is not the slow song after the fast song. It's not the one that they use in concluding the one that all of us were jumping. Heavy praise is to our God. Then after you finish, bam. Hallelujah. You know. that is not worship. Right? Worship is the lifting of your perspective. It is what takes your heart above the headlines. It's what takes your soul beyond the circumstance. And I use the word soul intentionally because that is the seat of your emotions, your feelings, your everything. You know, someone has done something to you. Can you still worship? So worship is that which shifts the atmosphere around and within you. Worship shifts the atmosphere around and within you. A perfect example is Paul and Silas. These guys were bound in the physical, but guess what? In the spirit, they were so free. They had chains in the physical. And because they got into that place where they were so aligned with what was in the spirit, right? The chains in the physical broke open. Shackles came off their feet. So I'm praying for you that as you align with God in worship, every shackle will be broken. Every chain will be broken. For whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. What can we learn from these guys? Chains can't silence a soul that looks up to worship. Chains can't silence a soul that looks up to worship. Look up in the Word. Look up in the Word. Feed your vision with God's truth. Here's a profound statement. I told you you should take notes, please. But if you didn't take any notes, please, I want you to take this note. I want you to remember this. That when life blurs your sight, the Word adjusts your lenses. When life makes it almost impossible for you to see clearly, the Word of God comes. Have you ever been to, okay, I've been to, not everybody. When you go to the optometrist, the optician, right, they continue to adjust your lenses until you have the perfect one that gives you your 20/20 vision. That is what the Word of God is supposed to do. Adjust, it's clear. Where? Go. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Word reminds you of who God is and who you are in Him. It reminds you of who God is to you and who you are to Him. And Psalm 119, verse 105, again, I didn't plan with Pastor Bim so that she said we should read Psalm 119, right? This is what the Lord is saying to us, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So looking up isn't wishful thinking. Looking up isn't wishful thinking. Guess what? It is wordful seeing. I came up with that word, wordful. It is wordful seeing. Looking up is word, means that the way you look up is to see through His words. I say you will see through His word in the mighty name of Jesus. Number three, you look up in prayer. Because prayer shifts the emotional weight upward. Prayer shifts the emotional weight upward. So, what is prayer? I'll give you my own definition of prayer. Prayer is not... Richard, stop it. Prayer is the posture of dependence that lifts the burden off your chest and puts it in God's capable hands. The mind is telling you, say it. Prayer is the posture of dependence that lifts the burden off your chest and puts it in God's hands. I want you to see that again. Prayer is the posture of dependence that lifts the burden. When he says lift the burden, it means that every time you finish praying, something should have happened. And Philippians 4:6 gives us that hack. Philippians 4:6-7, right? It says you should be anxious for, you know that scripture, right? And I want to say you should do that. In every situation, you should do what? With prayer and thanksgiving, you should what? Bring your, come on now, bring your what? Petition, your request, right? And then he says you should transfer the burden to God, right? And that what will happen after that? The peace of God. The peace of God that is beyond something, beyond understanding. The peace that people cannot understand. Now, why is this guy like this? Is he faking it? Will guard your heart and your mind. So there's a hack there. This means that pray and receive peace. Come on. Pray and receive peace. That is what Philippians 4:6-7 is telling. Pray and receive peace. Come on, somebody say with me. Pray and receive peace. Pray and receive peace. So, listen, if there is no peace after prayer, did you really pray? That's it. Because it's the word of God. I pray, I release. God takes the burden. Then peace is supposed to come up, correct? So how do we, believers, pray and worry at the same time? Pray and receive peace. Come on, talk to somebody and say it. Pray and receive peace. And if there's no peace after that prayer, I don't know if that is called prayer or... Go back and do it again. Thank you, Pastor Debbie. Go back and do it again. If you prayed and you didn't receive peace, go back and do it again. And it's often said that prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue, and that's true, right? Guess what? Beyond the dialogue, prayer is that communication. That is true, right? But prayer is not just communication. It is transfer. That's what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 just told us. It's a transfer. It is where you release what you were never designed to carry. Picture it as a transfer station, where you take that thing that is too heavy, that load that is too heavy, you take it, and it's a transfer station between your heart and heaven, where you leave the burden and pick up grace. You're supposed to take the burden, drop it there, and do what? Come on now, let's go together. You're supposed to take the burden and drop it there and pick up what? The only thing you should be picking up is what? The only thing you should be picking up is what? The only thing you should be picking up is what? Come on, give him praise. Say, I pick up grace. Come on, say it. I pick up grace. This week, I pick up grace. Grace to do my heavy lifting. Come on, speak now. Speak. Use your own mouth to seal it. This week, I pick up grace to be able to do life with people. This week, I pick up grace to be able to fulfill all the purposes you have placed in my heart, Lord. I pick up grace, my Lord and my God, to be able to execute my work excellently in the way that glorifies you. I, Richard Ogbomo, I pick up grace. And guess what? Looking up in prayer doesn't always change the problem first, but always changes your posture. Always. Always. Somebody say always. Number four, you look up in trust. And trust is living beyond your sight. Look at it this way. While faith is facing forward, trust fixes our eyes like the anchor. Remember Papi taught us on anchor last week, right? Right? Trust is that anchor. It fixes your eyes on where your help is coming from, not where the trouble came from. Trust fixes your eyes on where your help is coming from, not where the trouble came from. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. I love Proverbs 3, 5, one of my most favorite scriptures, right? And it says that, trust in the Lord with what? Come on. Come on, say it together. Trust in the Lord with what? I love the way that the Passion Translation puts it. It says, trust in the Lord completely. So trust is continuing to move with upward eyes, even when things don't make sense. It means you don't need to see the whole picture before you believe the artist. If Picasso was going to paint, you don't need to know that. It's the masterpiece. So can you see the masterpiece? In fact, the most gifted painters already see the masterpiece before they paint it. They just can't tell you. And God is calling you to be a gifted painter in your eyesight, in your inner man, to see by trust. Praise the name of the Lord. And looking up in trust is choosing God's voice over your visuals. And that's why you must hear God for yourself. And if you're here, you're saying, how am I sure that it's God's voice that I'm hearing? Please take our NCRO classes. When you are done, you must know whether it is God's voice, if it's your flesh or it's the voice of the world. So if there's anybody here, this is not a cliche or making, if you are not sure that you are, yeah, in God's word, that's why we're taught to hear God for ourselves. And that's why no man or God or woman will come and then just turn your head upside down. The Bible tells me about the people of Berea, right? The difference between them and the Corinthians was that those guys had the capacity to go back, they studied the word, and they could tell if what the disciples were saying was just fabu, or they were actually speaking the word of the Lord. So go back. NCRO will help you know if it is God speaking or not. Praise the name of the Lord. And number five, finally, we look up in expectation. We are eternally focused. And I'm going to read Acts 1, 10, and 11. And it says, they were looking intently into the sky as it was going. Who are these people? These are disciples of Jesus. Forget all that drama had happened. Drama, ball, everywhere scattered, rain, everything. And these guys gathered around Jesus. It's time for Jesus to go. And the Bible says they were doing what? Come on. They were looking what? Come on now. Let's do this together, guys. They were doing what? Looking up intently. Intently. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus. Somebody say, this same Jesus. Who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him
going to heaven. He will come back in the same way. And I have another question for you, one of my final questions this morning. If you are honest, when last did you think about rapture? That was what the angels were also inferring. When Jesus is coming back, what is he coming to do? To play, see we? If you see Jesus come up in the skies, it's too late to say, you know, when we're growing up, we say, when Jesus is coming, as we hear the angels say, God, forgive my sin, forgive my sin, forgive my sin. If devil slap you, eh? Shut up, my friend. Come on, go with me. Nonsense. Devil will not do that to you in Jesus' name. When last did you think about rapture? And this is a real question. Did you think about rapture this week? This last week? Let's be honest. Did you think about rapture 2 weeks ago? Did you think about rapture last month? When last did you think about rapture? When last did you go through your day with the consciousness of what if Jesus comes now? Because that question, what if Jesus comes now, changes your interaction throughout your day. What if Jesus comes now? I mean, living in the consciousness that Jesus can come now changes everything. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you speak. It changes the way you act and interact. Because many times when I drive on Lekki Road, I wonder, what if Jesus comes now? I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about myself. Oh, you thought I was talking about somebody else. Because when that guy comes and does what he does, in my head, I'm like, ah, God, give me the power to somersault this car now. Give me the power to smite this driver with blindness. And the question to Richard is, what if Jesus comes now? What about you? What is that thing that is taking you off track, bringing your focus elsewhere? What if Jesus comes now? And God wants us to live with the consciousness, like the angels were saying to the disciples, that, guys, get to work. Jesus can come back the same way you saw him go. What if he comes now? What will happen to your malice? What will happen to your scheming? What will happen to your offense? What will happen to your unforgiveness? What will happen to your stinginess? What if Jesus comes now? So what the angels were saying to the disciples is that, live alert. Come on, turn to somebody and say, live alert. Don't be passive. Live alert. Come on, you didn't say it to them. I didn't hear it up here. Turn and say to them, today something is changing in us. Tell them, live alert. And say it to yourself. Call your name. Richard, live alert. Live alert. I'm not saying, some people say, I expect alert. Leave your pocket. Leave alert. We value you more. It's okay. So I want to extend that charge to us this morning. Leave alert, my brother. Leave alert, my sister. This is not a feel-good teaching. Jesus can come now. When we were growing up, they used to tell us that Jesus was coming back again. I can't remember the last time I heard that Jesus is coming back again. The church has been so distracted with many other things. From Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. So don't just endure life. Anticipate. Expect God to move in your situation. I say God will move your situation this week. God will move in your situation this week. Not just one day. God will move every day. Expect great things to happen to you. So right now, some of us have been looking back for too long. You've been looking around for way too long. You've been looking inward, trusting yourself. It hasn't brought the results. You've been looking at people. My uncle, my brother. Ah, they just promote that guy. Hey, let's quickly come up with a proposal. God is calling us this morning. I don't know why I'm emotional now. To look up to him. For he's where the joy is. Is where the solution is. Look up to God, not to the hill, not to the sky, not to your source. Look to your Father, to your anchor. And I'll wrap up by something that my coach tells me most of the times, teaches us. And I want everybody to just look at me now. Can you sit up straight if you're squatting? Sit up straight, come on, it's fun. I want to do something fun. Sit up straight, right?
Now, I want you to raise your chin, yes, and look up. Look up, everybody. Somebody, don't look at me now. I won't take your wallet. I was joking. Look up, focus, right? And somebody's waking up, sleeping. Wake them up, wake them up. Okay, release, release. Release, please, release, please. I want us, somebody's sleeping. Give them a holy elbow, holy elbow. Now, 3, 2, 1. Let's all look up, look up, look up. Look up, eh? As you are looking up like this, eh? Use that same eye. Eh? Don't move your head down, no, to look at the ground. Look up. Somebody, you cannot do it. It's impossible. Praise the name of the Lord. It's impossible for you to look up and look down at the same time. It's not possible. So when you look up at God, you cannot really, you can't be looking down. You can't be looking at God and looking at offense. You can't be looking at God and looking at disappointment. You can't be looking at God and looking at shame. You can't do both. And the direction of your gaze determines the disposition of your soul. So I can tell if you have been looking up when I interact with you based on how your soul is wired. What comes out of your mouth tells me what, because if the disposition of your soul is still flesh and blah, 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 it means that you have been doing this. You don't have, nobody has the capacity. Even people that have interesting eyes cannot take one up and do one like that. In fact, if you can, would have taken your picture and posted it up here for everybody to see that one of your eyes go there, and we'll see you be winched. Ah. So when you look up, you can't wallow in shame. When you look up, you can't lose sight of your source. You can't walk with your shoulder dropped when you're looking up. You walk confidently with your head lifted high and not bowed in defeat because you are looking up. When you look up, you don't only just see God, you see from God. And when you see from God, guess what? You move differently. Hey, when you see from God, you can talk differently. When you see from God, you can believe differently. And that's why you start your day and say, only great things happen to me today. Only great things happen to me today. I got it covered. Why? Because my papa's got it covered. Praise the name of the Lord. Looking up, and when you look up, doesn't mean that you will not go through those things. But when you go through those things, they will not consume you. It says in the midst of the fire, you will not be consumed. In the midst of the waters, that means you will go through fire and water, but you will not be consumed. Somebody say, look up. Somebody say, look up. Come on, say it again. Say, look up. Look up. Say it again. Look up. Look up. Speak to yourself. Look up. Richard, go on, look up. Turn into a prayer. Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up, this week, when fears whisper into your ears, look up, son of God. Look up, daughter of God. When shame tries to oppress you, look up. Rise and look up. When the enemy tries to distract you, I say you will look up. When your soul feels famished to the point of fainting, look up. Receive strength. Because your hope comes from the Lord again. Your hope comes from the Lord alone. For he's your help. All of my help cometh from the Lord. My help. My help. My help.
My help. All of my help coming from
one more time, my help, come on, together. Cry out to the Lord yourself. Cry out to the Lord yourself. Cry out to the Lord yourself. Ask him to help you.
All of my help coming from the Lord.
All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Just speak to the Lord. You know what he has ministered to your heart this morning. But we have a special assignment for a few people. You came into service today, maybe just a regular service. You didn't know what God was going to ask of you. Before you can look up to him, you must have a relationship with him. I want to give you an opportunity to have that relationship. Or maybe you had that relationship and something has happened. I am saying, I don't even know myself anymore. I'm like Cain. God wants to bring you back home. If you will lift up your hand, we'll pray with you. It's all we're asking. so that you can settle it and come back to Jesus. So right now, lift up your hand if you are that one. Lift up your hand. All heads still bowed, all eyes still closed. You want to come back to Jesus, lift up your hands and the ushers will help you. We're not going to ask you to come forward. We just want to be able to pray with you. Mande bragazo tala hashala ha. Embregedo sietele mahande gela bragadose. Rababatala mahande ashata.
Yes, lift up your hand if you are there. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to accept Jesus. You want to take the position of being able to look up. To look up to God. Just lift up your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to accept Him into your life. You know that you've been doing things on your own. You've been looking on the side. You've been looking at the back. But today, you want to make the decision to begin to look up. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. If you are online, you can just indicate in the online platform where you are. The online pastors will reach out to you. But if you're here specifically inside the auditorium today, we're talking to you. We're not asking you to come forward. We're just asking. We want to see that you are there. We want to know that you are there. We want to walk with you. We want to help you. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. You want to turn your life to Jesus. Just turn your life to Jesus. Father in heaven, we want to just say thank you. We are grateful, O Lord, for your word that you have sent through your Son again this morning. Thank you for everyone that has said this word. Father, we are grateful because these words will land on fertile ground in our lives. It will bear forth fruits in the name of Jesus. It will bear forth good fruits in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray for your Son, Pastor Richard. The Lord has come to pour out Himself this morning. That Lord, you will breathe upon him. Lord, you will cause a replenishment of his soul in the mighty name of Jesus. That Lord, you will minister to him also in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Lord, the words that we have heard today, Lord, will not stand against us, but will speak for us in the mighty name of Jesus. It will be said of us that today we heard about looking up. And indeed, we will begin to look up in the mighty name of Jesus. Honor and glory we give to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? All right, shout a big hallelujah if you have been blessed. Amen.